entertain a motion to come out of recess into regular session.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Burton. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yep.
I vote yes, motion carried. We're now in regular session for public hearings. Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll read the rules of procedure for the zoning hearings. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County in its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each application shall be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the P&Z hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the P&Z hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front, stand at the speaker stand, and state your name and home address before you make a statement. Please sign the sheet at the speaker stand. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to me and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person opposition, please do not repeat points that prior speakers already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beep, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. Mr. President, the first hearing today is conditional use number 2089, Ms. Cornwell.
Thank you. This is an ordinance filed on behalf of Massey's Landing Properties, LLC. It's an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for amendment to ordinance number 2379 for conditional use number 1963 for a campground to amend condition of approval number 9 relating to the parking of park model RVs and campground food trailers to be located on a certain parcel of land lying in being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 54.33 acres, more or less. It's located on both sides of the eastern end of Long Neck Road. The tax parcels District 234, Map 25, parcels 31.02, 31.05, 31.04, and 31. The 911 addresses are 36625 Long Neck Road and 20628 Long Beach Road. Staff would note that the Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on July 27th. At that meeting, they discussed the request regarding to amend to condition number 9, and the request specifically is to amend condition number 9 to state that the camper and RV park shall remain vacant and no campers or RVs except park model RVs on approved park model campsites shall be stored on the campground during the period that the campground is closed. Park model RVs and campground food trailers in special flood hazard areas shall either meet the requirements of 115-141.5B3 for manufactured homes, or may be stored on paved campground automobile parking areas out of the floodplain when the campground is closed. At that meeting, the Planning Commission deferred action, and at their meeting on August 24th of this year, the Commission recommended denial of the request to amend condition number 9 for 6 reasons. Thank you.
Any questions from Council? If not, Mr. Clark.
Thank you. Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Jeff Clark. I'm a registered licensed landscape architect in the state of Delaware with the firm Land Tech Land Planning. We're situated in Ocean View, Delaware. Today, we're representing Massey's Landing Properties, LLC, the owner of the resort at Massey's Landing Campground, and as Janelle said, at the eastern end of Long Neck Road. With me today is Jack Burbage, one of the campground owners and managing partner and the operator of the entire campground facility. So hope you've either stayed as a guest or visited the campground to learn firsthand that the resort at Massey's Landing is a very upscale hospitality camping facility. Here are a few photographs, just if you have not been there. There's the main entry sign to the property. There's the one of the swimming pools on the site. With a bathhouse in the background there, and a swim-up bar there with a silver roof. There is a welcome center. There's a restaurant inside the welcome center, a coffee shop, ice cream shop, and the administrative functions of the property. This is a look at the towards Massey's Ditch from the beach area. There are some park model RVs in the distance there, that light green structures. And then new this year is the Sandy Dollar Bar and Grill on that same beach, looking right down Rehoboth Bay in the direction of Dewey Beach. The first full year of campground operations was 2016, beginning with the Memorial Day holiday weekend and ending the first Sunday in November, which is a condition that was placed on that application by this council. Every single resort at Massey's Landing campground guest is transient, meaning their visits are brief, usually a few days or an entire week. Some guests return for multiple visits, but there are no guests that remain for the entire camping season at Massey's. The resort at Massey's has three different types of transient visitor guests. The first category would be tent campers. The second and one of the most popular is the RV guests. So they have a variety of vehicles, both self-propelled and towed recreational vehicles. And the third set are guests in park model RVs. Now, park model RVs are owned by the campground, just the same as the bathhouses, the welcome center, and the other buildings. Park model RVs are suited to campers who do not personally own a recreational vehicle, or campers who have friends who own an RV and want to join them for the camping experience. All resort camping guests book their stay at Massey's for either a number of days or an entire week, the same as a hotel or a motel visit in Rehoboth or Bethany Beach. At the end of their stay, the campground guests pack up and leave and travel home with their tent or RV, except the park model guests. Park models remain at the campground. They're professionally cleaned after each guest stay and are prepared for the next visiting family. After the first Sunday in November, the entire campground is closed, gated, and operations to winterize utilities, swimming pool, and buildings are undertaken. No guests are permitted to enter the campground during the period when it is closed. When the 2014 County Council approved the campground conditional use in December of 2014, there were 20 conditions placed on the application. Thank you. The condition we're asking to for you to consider today is a bit of an amendment from what we brought before the Planning Commission. It's a more abbreviated consideration. The conditional use application here this afternoon is a request to amend Condition 9, allowing park model RVs to remain on the campground during the period when the campground is closed. Now, Condition 9, as it currently is written, requires that every park model physically leave the campground and travel over Long Neck Road to an approved storage lot several miles away and then return to the campground each spring. As you can see from the previous slide, these are here for the RVs again. That's quite an operation. The park model RV is not a licensed vehicle for travel on the road and requires expensive specialized towing equipment for transporting them. In fact, this past year, the park model set up and take down transporting to and from the campground for 32 park models that were on site this year was just over $150,000. The Planning and Zoning Commission, at your request, or at the request of one of the conditions, approved Massey's to have 70 park models. So in the future, if this condition prevails, that expense could as much as double to $300,000. And I guess in closing, I would say it's unclear what purpose is being served by requiring the park models to physically leave the site. Again, the conditional use application here today is to simply allow these park models to remain on site during the period of time when the park is closed. There are no people there, nobody's living in them. And just like all the other buildings on the site, to have you consider that, please. This concludes the presentation. If you have any questions of me or Mr. Burbage, we'll be happy to try and answer them for you.
Question to council.
Just Everett, maybe could you clarify P&Z had noted the section, a couple sections here from the code.
Yeah.
And could you give us your, I guess, your take on how these sections impact this application? They had six reasons.
Yes, you're referring to 3 and
four.
4, and that's referring to manufactured housing and that the how they must be anchored and tied down, and that was two of the reasons they gave for their denial. Mm-hmm. On those, and the code does state that if it's a manufactured home that is a permanent structure, it must have reinforced foundation with anchors and tie downs. What the and they were using this as part of their explanation for the denial, in that it was the council's desire when they placed the condition on that these would not be permanent structures, that this was part of a campground, and as part of a campground there were no permanent structures to be there. And what Planning and Zoning perceived that if they remain there, in effect they're becoming permanent structures, and if so, that they should have the they should have the same requirements as any other permanent structure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they construed that a park model is a manufactured home, is a type of manufactured home.
Yes, and because with the request that they remain there, that in effect they're becoming permanent structures.
Okay, I understand. Right, I understand that. So, but they're equating a park model and a manufactured home as just similar.
Similar, and if so, if it's going to be a if it's going to be permanently there, not removed, then it should have the same requirements.
Same requirements. Okay.
If I might interrupt, the code is real clear on this point. And maybe I can just refer specifically to Chapter 115. It's Article 18 under flood-prone districts. And it specifically says under recreation vehicles, it's letter G, number 2, it specifically says recreational vehicles that are not fully licensed and ready for highway use shall meet the requirements of 115.141.5b for manufactured homes. That is, if you have a park model, which is an RV, not licensed for highway use, and it's in a flood zone, you got to tie it down like you would a mobile home. Use the same law, the same rules. Doesn't mean that it becomes a mobile home, in my opinion, or it has any, they're just applying the same rule that you would to a mobile home. So that's very clearly spelled out in your code where recreational vehicles, if they're there, they need to be treated so that they're not a hazard, not a problem. So I'm not sure how the Planning Commission arrived at the conclusion they did. I have to tell you that I disagree with their view of it, and I just read it to you. That's my reason why.
Well, that's what I was trying to ask Mr. Moore. If are we able, are you comfortable with us equating a park model? Which I'm looking, I'm looking here at park models, you know, I Googled park model, you know, they're used for RVs. It says here it's small homes. I mean, I guess they've been able to place them different places. Are you comfortable with a park model equating to a type of manufactured home?
I am comfortable that they would need to be tied down based upon our code. If we're getting into then is this a mobile home or not, I would request that you defer so we could look into that specific issue. But I believe that the planning and zoning, when they were looking at this, they knew what council's intent was, and council's initial intent was that they were to be removed, that you wanted no permanent structures there, and since they were not being permanent structures, then they would have to, if they were going to remain there, they would have to be tied down.
And one last thing, do you recall? Did you do the first application?
I did.
You did. Okay. Do you recall the that condition number 9? Was that proffered by the applicant?
It was not. In fact, It was you, Mr. Cole, that changed the language.
That's what Planning Commission. I was afraid you'd say that.
That explains it.
As you remember, there was a lot of discussion that day about the conditions. Mr. Lang stood here and tried to interpret everyone's wishes before they were read aloud. Mm-hmm.
So
I'm confused.
May I say something? I just want you to know that these models are anchored down. There's 5 anchors on each side. When we move them, they have to be cut and moved. But these are, I just called to make sure and talk to the head of maintenance, and my question was, are these park models anchored down when they're in place? And he said, yes, they are anchored down with 10 anchors, 5 on each side. I just wanted to make that, let you know that. Thank you.
So, I mean, I'm still a little confused in reference to the conversation here. Number one is that the applicant was approved to have these dwellings, if you would, temporary dwellings there temporarily, correct? Originally. But today's request is that you don't want them to be there temporarily any further. You want them to be there, I guess one would say, permanently.
Well, moving them on and off the site is our primary request. I mean, to move them back and forth. Now, many of these are not in a flood zone and do not have to have any special treatment. There are a few that are. So, the code's very clear. Those ones that exist in a flood zone have to comply with your code, and they would have to be. The other ones, we just want to leave them on the site. There are a lot of them that are on high ground. But it is, again, there is a definition for recreational vehicle in your code that differentiates it distinctly from a mobile home, and it simply says it's a vehicle built on a chassis 400 square feet or less, which a park model is. So every park model that Mr. Cole looked up online is no larger than 400 square feet. And it's designed to be self-propelled or permanently towable, and the regular definition you would see for an RV. But it is that size distinction that makes them special.
So, I mean, but getting back to my question, the question is that, so the request is for you not to have to move it every year?
Correct.
On and off.
Simply
is that correct?
That's correct.
Cut your expense, and even though people will not continue to use these because the park is still closed.
Correct.
You just don't want to have to move them.
Correct.
So I'll get back to our attorney. So if it's there, the definition of it being permanent, I presume this would be the case because it's not being moved, it's there. So how does that...
When I was using the term permanent, I was referring to going back to the condition that Mr. Cole was at the original hearing, did not want them to remain there permanently because of the look, and that they, it looked like, a mobile, not a mobile home park, but similar to that kind of park, as opposed to an RV where the vehicles go in and out. I was not using permanent as a term of art, but, you know, going back to the original conversations.
Okay. From a code perspective and from a tax-based perspective, and even we could even include other agencies, if it's something that's there temporarily, which is it has been because you were removing it and bringing it back.
By condition, it had to be.
Correct. So if it shifts to a different realm, the permanency, how does that change assessment, or does it?
I don't believe that it would have any effect on that.
And should it? I mean, if it's there, quote unquote, permanently.
That's a totally different question.
Okay. And then also, does this impact, maybe it's a question for you too, in reference to other rules and regulations set forth by the state and for that matter, the federal government, as it relates to its proximity to the waters? I mean, so talk to me about that.
So the locations, the issues with the planning and zoning is that they would have to comply with floodplain requirements. Which is the anchoring and the tie down. So they would actually have to be, if they're going to be left in place, if it's approved, and the ones that are in the floodplain currently exist in the floodplain, we'd have to have an engineer certification proving that they comply with
the
floodplain.
You're saying it's already being done.
Well,
we're just tying down.
I think
it's already being done, but not to the standard that the county would have us do, Janelle's explained. So we would have to go to that expense. And again, your code has a sizable section dealing with this.
Okay. Yeah, they would actually have to have footers and so much rebar, and it would have to meet the base flood elevation, and then they'd still have to tie down. There's a lot of requirements that they'd have to go through, again, if the conditions approved to meet the floodplain requirements.
So that what we're looking there at that picture would be up higher.
No, they won't. Actually, the finished floor is needs to be above the base flood, and
that meets it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're not going to be. They're going to look just like that, I guess is a better way to put it.
Okay, and then two other quick questions, and that is, you currently have 32.
Correct.
You mentioned physically out there. Originally, you were approved for what was the number 70?
One of the conditions that the council gave us is we had to go back to planning and zoning, and planning and zoning was to approve a specific number of park models and where they were allowed to go on the site plan. They approved 70. As we speak, there are 32 on site.
What's the total number of sites?
296. 296 total sites.
So you were approved for 70 of these?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I do. I have one. A couple. You mentioned that nobody stays more than a week. Is that a condition, or is that something that you have in just the park? I mean, what stops this from being a seasonal rental?
Well, I guess Jack may have a better answer than this, but it's one of expense for one. I mean, people don't stay in a hotel room for weeks on end unless they're wealthy, because it's expensive. And so these are.
You could drop the price.
These are traditionally rented daily or weekly because they're expensive. They're waterfront locations, many of them. And
but what stops it from turning into something else?
Into money. A long term? You mean a whole season? Somebody living there or staying there?
Cash.
I mean,
if they can afford it.
As it currently is written, the rules, if somebody can afford the freight, I mean, I can't imagine 70 people doing, but anything's possible. I mean, I'm not going to deny that that's not conceivable. You don't see that often in Rehoboth in a hotel or in Bethany, you know. But I'm sure that they do have occasions where that happens.
Well, you know, the price of the hotel is based on the owner, right, and the market. So you could change your... You could change your price,
well,
and somebody could say, "I'll take the season."
I guess on the record, on all of the records, planning and zoning record, this record, and the one that was done when this project was originally approved, the word transient was used over and over again. That is,
That is enforceable by the county. If you see people squatting there for long periods of time, they violate it, and you can pull our permit. I mean, it is intended to be transient. So,
well, were there any of the other? I don't have the old conditions here. Were any of the other conditions saying how much the park had to be transient?
No.
So there's no requirement. So everything could go seasonal.
If you want to place that condition on us, that would be fine, Mr. Cole. We have
well,
said
not,
that.
That wasn't part of this application. We couldn't add.
Well, it certainly could be part of the application for these specific units, because the RVs aren't going to stay. They're not allowed to stay there, you know, all season long. So that's up to you. I mean, that's a suggestion, but
Jeff, what I've seen in the trend with campgrounds in Sussex County has been that in the beach area out on the way to the country club, that one went all seasonal. Tucko Acres is all seasonal. And the owners found that, you know, instead of dealing with the, you know, the day in and day out and all that stuff, it's easier to go all seasonal. And if the money's there, they'll do it. And then also, you know, there will be people that may want to rent. Instead of buying a house at waterfront, which could be millions, they could come and stay here a lot less. And anyway, somebody could justify it.
When this plan came before you, for whatever reason, you didn't see fit to place that condition. I guess I'm telling you that if you want us to come back for that or whatever, but it's, again, the record is.
I understand.
Jill, you have something?
Condition number 21 at the end says the number of transient sites shall also be determined by the commission. The commission determined that there should be 291 total transient campsites for the campground, and that included 216 RV campsites, 70 maximum park models, and 5 remote tent sites.
So they're all transient?
So they're all transient.
Stay correct?
Okay.
Thank you.
Is your proposal to make these permanent to build a foundation?
Well, you need piers. They have to be able to, the water needs to be able to wash under them. Again, it's like any property in a flood zone. When the waters rise, they need to wash right through and not take the structure with them. So, again, there's a very detailed and lengthy section of your code that deals with mobile homes, but by your code also must apply to a RV if they're in that setting. And so if it's satisfactory for a mobile home that's much larger, you would guess that it would be adequate for a 400 square foot RV. So they're not going to be a perimeter foundation. These are going to be piers. They have to have steel in them, as Janelle alluded to. There's anchors. They're very specific anchors. It has to be designed by an engineer with engineer seal on. Everyone has to be inspected by the county and approved, just as a mobile home or any structure in the flood zone.
And your proposal is to build them just at that level and not to jack them in the air?
There'd be no incentive for us to spend the additional money to make them look silly or to get them elevated. I mean, that would be
better views.
There is a cap on the elevation that you would do?
Well, you have the finished floor has to be at or above base flood.
And it's the above that I'm a little worried about.
These are in an area, that's why I chose this slide. These are in an area where the finished floors of these, and you see one, two, there's three risers here. It's about 2 feet above existing grade, four risers. So
would your proposal be to leave it at base flood elevation?
The finished floors will be at base flood.
Okay. Any other questions? If not, Mr. Clark, did you have anything else to add?
That's all I have.
I do have a quick question, if I may, Mr. President. I'm sorry. You know, sections are points number. Number 5 as the example. It's talking about whereas because large area of the campground is in a flood zone and the entire site is known for everyone historically prone to flooding. There is nothing in the record that convinced conditions. I guess the question is that because the comments here from planning and zoning was that these are in a flood zone, some of these dwellings. And so if it's approved here, they have to be dealt with, correct, Janelle? Mrs. Janelle, as it relates to, they've got to be anchored down, they've got to have a certain base elevation, correct?
We need to apply the code, and the ones that are in that zone, that's correct. They need to be anchored and.
But that was the reason why it was not given, because granted, based on planning and zoning, one of the reasons anyways is because of that fact. So to me, it's like, if it's approved, you got to abide by it. That same reason that's being denied, because it was recommended by planning and zoning, because you are in a flood zone.
Well, I don't know where they found that. I mean, I attended the hearings, and I was there the day that the motions were made and the conditions were placed. I don't recall that being the reason for why they were being removed. So they are, in fact, I mean, I recognize that. That's a fact. They are, some of them are in the flood zone. And the ones that are need to be dealt with, like any structure in a flood zone, they just per your code.
Are there again setbacks? I mean, they would have to abide by the. I mean, if this is approved, right, as it's i.e. permanent tie downs, it's going to be there year round. Does it shift to a different elevation of accountability on setbacks away from the water? I mean, would this?
No, they would just have to comply with the floodplain requirements.
Up. Just make sure it's up to a certain level.
Because all the campsites have already been approved as part of the conditional use on the site plan.
Campsites are in very specific locations, much the same as a lot. They're not lots and by definition, but
right.
They're easy. They're found by a surveyor. They can be located.
And I guess also, I mean, do we have other campgrounds in the county that have permanent year-round structures that are there?
Thousands of them.
Right. So, okay.
Okay. Is there, seeing no more questions, is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else in favor? Seeing none, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this request? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing at this time. And if council desires, close public record.
We'll close public hearing. It's okay with council. Close public record.
I do have one other question.
Charlotte.
I apologize. But the utilities, are public utilities? What do they have?
I would note then, since someone's coming back up, that we're reopening the public.
Well, maybe Janelle can answer.
I was going to kind of look at Janelle when I asked that very question.
It has public sewer and water.
Okay.
Just those sites. All where the permanent, all
the entire campsite.
Every
right.
Site.
I was looking to reopen. Campsite. I was directing my question to Janelle. So
the entire site is served by public sewer and water.
Okay, and it's all built to county specs, or is it?
The sewer is county, so it would have to comply.
Right.
Any more questions? Hearing none, if it's okay with council, we'll close the public record. Ask Mr. Moore to read a short title.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in the AR1 Agricultural Residential District for an amendment to Ordinance Number 2378 for Conditional Use Number 1963 for a campground to amend Condition of Approval Number 9 relating to parking of park model RVs and campground food trailers to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 54.33 acres, more or less.
Pleasure, Council.
I would like to move that we delay this decision for 2 weeks, personally. I think I asked that very question because I think I need to read more into this because of the 5-0 against as it relates to the Planning and Zoning's recommendation versus what I've heard today and what exists around the county.
So I
would suggest we defer for 2 weeks until when we're back in session.
Do we have a second?
Or next time we're back in session. I don't know if it's 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
Second that motion. Motion, Mr. Arlett. Second, Mr. Burton, to defer on conditional use number 2089. Questions on that motion? take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Old?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay, the next hearing is conditional use number 2090 on behalf of Edgar Hernandez.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a shop for a painting business and storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 1.4583 acres, more or less, located on the north side of Zora Road, approximately 748 feet west of Gravel Hill Road. The 911 address is 25203 Zora Road, Georgetown. The tax parcel is District 234, Map 14, Parcel 30.01. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on July 27th of this year. At that meeting, they heard testimony. They received a staff analysis and a survey and a service level evaluation that indicated a TIS was not required. They deferred action, and at their meeting of August 10th, they recommended approval of the application based on five items with 13 conditions. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions from council? If not, I see the applicants are here. If you'd come forward to the podium, please, and give us your full name and address, please. You need to get up close to the microphone and pull them down, please. You Thank go. You.
Melanie Cervantes.
I'm Edgar Reyes.
And your address, please?
25203 Silver Road in Georgetown, Delaware, 19947.
Okay. What you need to do is explain to council what you're planning to do. They've heard some of what you are planning to do from the Planning and Zoning Director. You need to tell what you're planning to do, why you believe the council should grant your request.
Que dice que cuáles son los planes que se tienen para hacer ahí para darle un servicio.
Solamente lo que quiero es para tener la bodega para el negocio.
Okay. All he wants is to put the storage there for his business, the painting business.
Okay. Reading the record, also to do painting in the facility as well?
No, it's just for keep up the materials in there.
Okay. Can you tell us about the site? Is this going to be a new building or is it a building that's already there?
No, it's a building that was already there.
It is already there.
Mm-hmm.
Are there going to be employees at the site?
No, they only will be there in case they need to take materials out of there and take it to the site yard.
Okay.
It was stated somewhere, I thought I read about all the employees arrive there and park and leave their cars, and like 40-some employees. Is that what was in our, what we had from planning and zoning?
No,
that was, yes.
There are 25.
25 employees?
Yeah, because sometimes they leave the van there, and they do keep the car in there, and then when they come back from the job, they take
then
their
they
cars
there.
Yeah.
Okay. We don't have an error.
Okay. Is there any other questions from council?
What is around? This is pretty residential. Is there any other businesses around that I don't know of?
There is a daycare on the side, on the left. Yeah, the left inside. And
so is that an approved daycare?
If it's a home occupation, it would be under six or under a certain number of children. It's a permitted use. I don't believe there are any known conditional uses in the area. I would have to give me a minute. Yeah, there were no known conditional uses in the area, so the daycare is probably a home daycare for less than six children, or six or fewer.
Okay, the business that's being operated there now, is that That's not a home occupation because of the number of employees. Has there been any type of permission given for the business itself prior to now?
No. We received a complaint, and they were sent the violation letter, and they came in with the application for the conditional use, which is why we are here today.
Okay. So it's more than just a storage building. It's for the business that's operating there.
Yes, it is for the paint business and then storage of materials for the paint business.
Okay.
Another question, Mr. President. Is somebody living on the property? I mean, is the applicant living on the property?
Yes.
Okay. just him and his family, and yes. and then the employees come?
No, it's just him and his family.
Okay.
And none of the employees live there.
Okay. And is it a separate building?
It's an older aerial, so it doesn't show up, but approximately where the arrow is, I believe, is where the pole building is located on the property.
So it's a separate detached building?
Yes.
Okay. And you said 25 employees, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
I know condition number J, it says no more than 15 vehicles are permitted on the site at any one time. I guess that would include his family's, right, vehicles as well as the employees' vehicles, because on site means on site.
It says on site is what their condition stated.
So can you share how many of the 25 employees that come on a daily basis, how many cars do they generate?
Okay, there's two people per van, so some of them just go to the job site, like, directly.
Gotcha. So not all 25 employees, just
no.
The ones that go there to pick up the van and the supplies and then meet the other worker on site somewhere.
Yes. And it does not, like, every day.
Okay.
And
one other quick question is, how long has the applicant been conducting the business on this property?
Around 6 to 8 months.
Okay.
Have you looked into just a storage facility? Have you looked into just saying, I'm going to store the paint over here, run my business out of here? It seems like
Father, he is looking for storage, like, separate to his home, so maybe he will be on the process of that. And he received the letter. That's why we are here.
Okay. Thank you.
And he did not know that he had to have the permit to have it there.
Have you talked to your neighbors?
No. He... like, say good morning and all that, but nothing about the business or anything like that.
Okay. All right. Are there any other questions from council? Do you have anything else you'd like to add? Okay. Is there any?
Can I ask her to sign in before you leave the podium so I'll have your name for the record?
Yeah.
Sign it right down.
See where it is. Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone in favor? Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter, and if you desire, close the public record.
Was there opposition at the P&Z?
There was, from one of the neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Just a minute.
The adjacent neighbor?
It was one of the adjacent neighbors, and that was in your minutes.
Yes.
Now the neighbor who complained, he said there's no other commercial businesses in the neighborhood. And you say there are? something nearby, or there is?
They have stated that there's a daycare in I think in one of the other adjacent properties.
But we don't have confirmation of that.
Well, it wouldn't need any approval from us. It would need approval from the child care licensing, and they would have probably need a zoning letter, but we'd have not verified that because it would be a home occupation, which would be a permitted use.
If it's a small one of these small daycares.
It's a small home daycare.
Which we don't know if it is or is not.
We have no idea. But there's a big difference between a daycare and this step to another commercial type activity in this residential area. Okay.
Any more questions from the council? Hearing none, we'll close the public hearing. If it's okay with council, we'll close public record.
I wouldn't mind riding down and putting this one off.
That's fine. We'll ask Mr. Moore to read a short title.
An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a shop for painting business and storage to be located on certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 1.4583 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 4 with conditions 5A through M.
Pleasure of council.
Yeah, Mr. President, I wouldn't mind, because of the comment of the opposition about there's no other commercial businesses in the neighborhood, I'm reluctant to move forward because of, at this point, without checking, because once you approve something, like you set a precedent for other applications, and we may see it again. I don't want to see the council here changing the character of a neighborhood if it doesn't need to be. Anyway, so I'd like to defer so I could go down and visit that site and look and check the neighborhood and in that area, and just to double check my recollection. I've been by there a lot of times, but I want to see it one more time.
Second George's motion for deferral.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Burton, to defer on conditional use 2090. Questions on that motion? Take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Actually, I did have a question, then I'll vote. I'm sorry, but the record was closed, correct?
Right.
So for him to go down to the property after the fact, is that something that we're to do or not to do, or, I mean?
He had indicated on the record that he's been by there before, and he's just double-checking the number.
Okay, just want to reaffirm. Okay, I will.
That will back up the vote just for to defer.
Yes, this is the vote. This is the vote to defer. I will vote yes in favor of deferring. Are we going to put a timeline on this?
There was none. No.
Okay.
We'll put
it right back
Mr.
on.
Mr. Burton. Motion to defer.
Second.
And your vote is yes.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Defer.
Is it yes vote, Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carries.
So. Explain, or we will defer. We will not be making a decision today.
Probably 2 weeks.
We will be deferring for a couple. It'll be at least a couple weeks. Okay.
And the next hearing, Mr. President, is conditional use number 2095. Ms. Cornwell.